Welcome, faithful Jizzener, to Talking Jizz, a podcast about a podcast about five podcasters who start off trying to care really hard and then learn that there is freedom in letting go.
Holy shit.
I cared
you just
every moment.
Spoke to me.
I thought that overall, some of the funniest shit in this little mini series. So I'm very happy with it. And I think my only complaint about it is I just think that system is not a good system.
Like, yeah, I don't like it.
Objectively, I don't like the Star Wars system.
I think it's not a good system for a podcast.
Yes,
I think
if
you were a good group of friends having fun ducking behind tables and shooting lasers and hot wiring speeder bikes like the game clearly wants you to, it's probably a lot of fun. But it's like for the kind of thing we were doing, like it was definitely a tough system to work
with. It still feels
with.
Like the setup, though. I mean, you were the one DMing it, but it just seems like at first we're like, oh, it's cool because there's successes and then advantages, but it's like, that essentially happens if you're like, hey, roll a 15, and if somebody rolls a 15, you're obviously like story-wise they're going to make it closer, and if they roll like a natural 20, you're like, oh, it's a bigger success. Cthulhu has it. It's like, this just felt like every single time you rolled it was fucking math.
Yeah. I also realized I don't really like Star Wars that much.
we can tell.
In terms of what the system's going after, it is like the Star Wars action scenes at their best have this kind of like swashbuckling seat of your pants, Indiana Jones kind of flair to them, and I think if you are engaged and you are really like, I'm a smuggler and I've got to get the plans out of the base or whatever. Like, I think that system would work really well for that. I think when we immediately took the show to such a satirical place, like, I think it was harder to make that system work for the kind of comedy we were trying to get
out of it. That makes sense.
It's definitely not really a story driven system.
It's definitely more about the crunchiness of not even necessarily combat, because they've got rules for every kind of actiony thing that you can do, but just generally actiony things. I should have seen that coming when we started. I was like, oh, of course they're just going to want to talk their way through everything. Fuck. So we just end up doing, you know, 90% of our roles were skullduggery and cunning and random stuff instead of the actual thing the game wants you to
do. I don't think we fired a blaster once in the entire 6 hours of that entire game. I don't think a blaster got fired.
I guess I was just thinking about, because remember we played that Imperial Assault game a bunch, and I was like, honestly, like Imperial Assault, if we just talked during Imperial Assault, it was like a more fun system.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a very interesting contrast to Call of Cthulhu, which again, I really, really enjoyed the Call of Cthulhu
system. I really
like
the system.
It's my favorite system so far. At least the basic dice rolling aspect.
So this is interesting in that it just felt like a lot of the labels for what you can do in Call of Cthulhu, it's like very understandable and like you get it right away.
Yes.
Whereas this one, there's a lot of stuff where like, what is this cunning? Is this cool? You hear me trying to get cool roles in there. I'm still not quite sure what cool
I think you're right.
Is.
I don't think I ever felt like I was using the right stat ever.
Yeah.
Other than when you said piloting, I'm like, oh yeah, I have piloting. Otherwise, it was like, I don't know, what do you have? It's like skullduggery, I guess, but we also have like sneakiness and everything's a weird
we definitely family. Cheated by it, because like literally the game book is like, hey, you're somebody trying to make your living on the edge of the empire, so you're going to be a bounty hunter or a mercenary or a guide or whatever. And then we're like, four musicians, and it's like cool, we can't
That's
really blame
true.
The we system so much for that
testing the system.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, which means I don't like Star Wars that much.
Legally means he hates Star Wars.
The more I went through this, the more I realized just how difficult Star Wars is as a universe to do anything that doesn't revolve around two big armies kind of fighting each other and the drama that sort of comes out of that. Like, even The Mandalorian,
one
like,
family.
Doesn't get one episode in before it's like, by the way, the Empire is rearing its ugly head again. Like, it almost feels like you can't do anything without big things happening, because otherwise it doesn't feel like Star Wars. Like, I think the first episode is, like, fun, but it's just us doing this really little, fun little rinky-dink, some like it hot thing. And I think once we get to episode 3, basically, it actually sort of begins to feel almost like a story at the exact moment we decide, who gives a fuck? Let's just make it really funny.
To me, I definitely thought going in this was going to be a lot more tonally straight. Like, it was going to be more straight ahead, like Mountains of Dadness. I did a lot of work on Ulp and, like, figuring her out and, like, doing all this backstory and stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, she's, like, you know, connects to the Force through music. That's so cool. Like, I can tap into being a saxophone player and stuff like that. And we hit the ground running, and it was definitely, like, I think that first episode, you can kind of feel us trying to find it. And then it was really, like, the beanbag moment was where it clicked. I was like, okay, thank God. I understand what this is now. It's us hiding it. And then when we all pop out and then Beth says, hit it. And then like the band plays and then we punch the
God,
guy.
That's
I was
so
like,
good.
I was like, all right, yeah. Like, I get what this show is now. Like, I know how to do it.
When we did Mountains of Madness, which I hope we do this again, it was really fun. Like, we got a cabin up in like Lake Arrowhead or something. And we just like, we all had our characters and we just really lived in that world. Whereas here is like,
oh,
long records, it was remote, it was like...
This is probably the hardest record.
Yeah, this miniseries almost broke me.
Yeah, so Beth, you mentioned this on our... I'm going to do a tie-in to our other Talking Dads we just recorded. but yeah, you mentioned that this one was a real challenge for you.
I mean, the long and the short of it is that, like, I felt very confused by the system itself. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And then...
terrible character sheets, by the way. Anyways, keep going.
And, you know, I had planned my character's backstory and all that stuff. But it's like, again, with the existence of Star Wars, I don't know if it felt like this for any of you guys, but it always felt like there was something we were supposed to be doing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. That I'd never felt like in Dungeons and Daddies, and especially not in Call of Cthulhu, even though there is, like, you know, obviously a narrative arc sort of thing. But I felt like there was something like outside of Anthony, like a Star Wars thing that I was supposed to be doing.
Definitely exactly. The first episode, I very much felt that. I was like, I guess we should like fight this Gungan and like go to the Empire or something, right? Because this is Star Wars. Like, I didn't quite, yeah, I felt that.
And I think I underestimated how much Star Wars I would need to know to do. I mean, yeah, I just thought like Dungeons and Daddies, it's like, yes, it's set in this sort of D&D thing, but I've seen enough Lord of the Rings or whatever to know that like an elf is an elf.
You're also playing a character who's new to that world. You're and it's like, yeah, you to
yeah,
play
and,
but
someone. Like, I don't know what a Palawik is, and I don't know what their history is, and I don't know what like what's the stereotype of like a certain alien or whatever. Mm-hmm. What's the history here? And Will, you could absolutely speak to this too, is that like I wanted to be like a very specific trope in this one, which was like the grizzled old like lead singer, which requires intelligence of the universe that I, Beth May, did not possess.
So you find yourself doing a lot of Henry's favorite rock is the planet Earth, because you don't really know that much about geology.
I was like, so halfway through the first episode, which every episode took a few records, I would get to a point in every episode where I'm like, I've made a terrible mistake. Mm-mm. Just like super in my head about it. And then I think it was like my friend, while I was talking to my mom, was like, well, if you suck, does the whole thing suck? And I'm like, actually,
yes,
no.
I'm the most important person on the podcast.
I am like, everyone's favorite. So.
I was like, actually, no. And they're like, well, do you have to be like the best, or can you just like, just fucking do it? And they said it in a way that felt really mean. But ultimately, good. After thinking about it, I was just like, yeah, I just need to fucking get over myself and just like, just be there for the rest of the story and not think that my... or just like not give it the weight that I think I thought about it going into it. I think I had crafted this stuff, and then when it came to using it, I was so anxious about all this other Star Wars stuff that I couldn't even, yeah. By the time we got to the third episode, I was just like, I just gotta let this shit go, and everybody else is having a great time, and I need to start having a great time.
So. Now that you think about, like, I did the most backstory stuff on both the app, and then just quickly, I had, because I guess similar to Daryl, I had a whole nother character I was going to do. Which was going to be, I was like, oh, I'm going to try to be like, essentially like Boulay, like a really bad singer. Like
Goulet,
Robert Goulet. Yeah, I was just going to do that. I was practicing my voice. I was like, I'm going to do a deep voice and be really funny, because I'm never going to do voices. And then you're like, oh, I want to be the singer. And at first I was like, aw. And then I was like, oh, thank God, I don't want to fucking do this. Like, I don't. But I wrote that whole character out. And then I did all the backstory of the app. But now thinking about it, I think it's because, like you said, like the pressure of like, it's Star Wars. We wrote all these backstories kind of independent of what the adventure was going to be. And then there's this pressure, we're like, well, I gotta explain that, like,
I gotta,
the app is in the back, like, you know, he has his love is back there, and he was attacked by the Empire, whereas like Dungeons and Daddies, our backstories are, we're thrown into the Forgotten Realms, like we're dead. And then Mountains of Madness is also simple. It's like, we're just
normal people
thrown into this thing. But here, because we wrote all this stuff, and we had this idea of what the Star Wars thing is, but then that didn't mesh with the adventure. And it's never going to mesh with the adventure.
I'll tell you who fucking got the assignment from the go was Freddie Wong.
Yes. Absolutely.
Steve Himbo was our North Star, for sure. And when we looked back and there were no footsteps and just a big giant jizz-covered ball in the fucking ground, it was Freddie knowing exactly how to play
this
thing.
I'm a DJ robot.
Yeah, not to pick faves, but I think that Matt and Freddie just absolutely fucking killed this.
I think Matt and Freddie and Will did a really good job.
Matt's character.
I'm joking.
I know.
Not to blow smoke over my ass, but I think Matt, Will, and Beth, and Freddie all did.
I think Matt's voice and also characterization of Yap is my favorite of all the characters that he's done. Like, just the
me with a funny voice.
Like, I think as weird as it is, like, my two favorite things was just like, dead family. Like, Yap was the one who really pushed like the whole like, your family is dead, which is like,
we don't care.
Really, really funny. Really, really funny.
Yap was also the emotional core of the of yeah. the entire yeah. thing.
And then also Anthony, like, as Grimla.
Just Space Baden.
I think my favorite thing, everything we've recorded, my favorite thing is when his like finger hovers over the eject button, and then you hear Grimla go, ejecto, ejecto. It's just like, yes, the word is ejecto, and it's just this little tiny thing, like, trying to hit this button to eject. It's like, it was so fucking funny to me. Every time I hear it, I die.
Matt has, I think, two of the funniest things that have ever been said in America in this episode, yes. in this series. One of which is, there's a moment where I can't remember exactly what it is, but some character says something to Yap Yap Yowza that I'm just sort of throwing out as improv. And Matt's response is, whoa, you've never said anything like that before.
What was I saying?
I can't even remember. I remember that line and it being very
funny.
Just
the groundling should point to that and be like, so this is the opposite of what improv is in a lot of ways. And then the other one is in this most recent episode where Matt clearly is just like already decided he wants Yap Yap Yowza to die. So we're coming up with a plan how we can teleport the ship around him and grab him. And he's like, oh no, you hit me really hard.
You hit me really hard. You hit me really hard.
You hit That's me really memory. Hard. It's so
you can
good.
See the moment where I'm like, I'm dying, which is
I want to just cling onto the side
no,
of the
you
ship.
Say, yeah, you say, oh, so are you going to be the chair of the spacewalk? And I go, I'm going to be the spacewalk. And like, you can hear it in my voice. I'm like, that's the moment of I'm fucking dying. Like, I want to die in this episode as soon as possible.
I will say, one of my other just the dynamite jokes was Beth having Gertie die of natural causes.
Yeah.
The whole last out. Took me out. Yeah. It's so rowdy to just be like, it's like, you'll see like, and like, and when you're playing D&D, like, my character's going to die. They're going to get a big death scene or whatever. But to just like, the adventure's over, and you're like, my character just
and
drops
just the,
dead.
The image of two Force ghosts, and all of a sudden the third one appears, and they're like, wait, what? And she's dying.
Just fucking showing
is the funniest
up.
Goddamn. Like, so the fact that that's not in a movie sucks.
Well, I realized I was playing somebody who would die of natural causes in an unnatural situation. You know? That so was the big mistake.
I thought
there's
a lesson in that. Like, I thought the story was the most nonsense, but honestly, I don't think Dungeons and Daddies is going to have a better ending. I don't think we'll. Honestly think it's like
Will's
the most. Flawless, like, of anything I've ever done, like, somehow every character gets like their funniest moment at the end, and every character dies exactly as they should, and somehow it comes together, and like thematically we all reject Ulp and die instead of have the new person, and Ulp's like, I should have always been a farmer. Like, it's literally so flawless.
When Ulp says I'm going to be a farmer, I fucking lost my goddamn mind. Dungeons and Daddies can suck it. Mountains of Daddies can suck it. That is the line.
I got this twinkle in my eye. After Gertie dies, it's like, I know what to do with the ending.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I was like, I've got this. Like, so I know exactly what to do. But it's like, I don't. This is also one of those things that I have this bug up my ass about. I was so happy that I could do something with it like this, which is that, like, there are so many creative people in Hollywood, and it's like, obviously the people who make art are like creative people that like wanted to come and struggle and pursue their passion stuff. Which
people
is
telling
like,
them they shouldn't do it. And
so
whatnot.
Like every fucking kids movie is like, fuck your family for having a normal, boring job. You should go chase your magical, amazing adventure. Cause right. like self-actualization comes through
you
doing the
make
thing.
Shoes. You should play the guitar.
Exactly. Like Coco is just like, ugh. And then the film's like, no music ever. Cause something happened 200 years ago that we're mad about still. And like fucking like the contempt fucking like Remy's family. They're like, you fucking shitty rats. Let me go cook. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So like, I've always wanted to do something that was like kind of the opposite theme of like, no, like being a musician kind of sucks. It's hard. Like maybe the right thing is just to not do that. Like maybe happiness has another meaning besides like doing the thing that made you happy when you're 12, when you're 35, which I know like for me to be saying,
don't come to LA.
Fucking,
we're full.
Which again, like I say this with full awareness of what I do for a living.
Yeah. That's why it's hard to tell stories because it's almost worse to be like, to be the person.
Yeah. What am I going to do? Like I did it and I'm going to be like, don't follow your dreams or whatever. But I was like, oh yeah, like Ulp's gone on this insane, like it's been like a day. She left a day ago.
Oh my
she's
God.
Seen depraved sex acts and hyper violence. She's
lost her clue horn?
Lost her fucking
her new bandmates were like, who cares if your family dies? Like
unless
like,
they're good music. Like,
they went back to save him, but only begrudgingly.
And then her thing at the end, it wouldn't be like, no, fuck this. It's just like, I'm gonna be a farmer. Like, okay.
It's great. I also almost read it as a, because I think what you all managed to find at the beanbag gag was usually Dungeons and Daddies, and even to some extent At the Mountains of Dadness, the comedy dynamic is I, for the most part, play straight man unless I'm playing funny characters, and then you all are funny in opposition to me, and it works. And you found a new dynamic in this, which is that all of us were aligned against Star Wars. And Star Wars.
That's actually very true.
Star Wars was the straight man.
You're 100% right. Like, once we found that, and I think essentially, like, that was the thing that you were pushing against as a performer, was like the.
And even in episodes 2 and 3, which I think are funnier, there's still the moments where, like, we just get into, like, I guess we gotta do Star Wars now. And
we gotta get into X-Wings. I'm like, I don't wanna get into a fucking X-Wing. Yeah.
My favorite moment is that Anthony is when even Anthony seems to give up on it being Star Wars. It's like so fucking like literally the turn of Yaddle is like my favorite because we fight for like 40 minutes. Again, this is why I say Yap was easy because Yap is just meek and like I speak and I stutter. So I'm just like, whatever, I'm just going to do a character that is that. And we're just like, why won't you just let us turn in this video? Clearly, we're not faking it. And then after like 45 minutes, you're like, yeah, I was like, whatever. So no, fuck it. Go to the farm. Go to here. I don't care anymore. Like, it's the funniest shit. And then same thing, then the moment after, you're like, that's got to have like an arc. Like, I got to do all these arcs. So
we
like,
spent 20 minutes trying to get that
here's
guy's
a character,
helmet
here's
off
a character.
Of
and then finally, he's like, I don't fucking care either. Like,
and
just get it
and
over
it's like,
with.
I was so precious about what the fucking weapon was when I hadn't even fucking, I was just like, I can't have anybody else come up with this for me. And then, like, it was just like nothing.
What was that?
And
what
I loved
the torpedo sphere?
What was it?
What was so good? What is the torpedo sphere?
Yeah, I don't remember this.
It's the size of a moon. It was just the first thing she brought up. Beth was trying to figure out what the weapon was. And so she Googled, like, powerful Star Wars weapon.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
She's like, I found this thing called a torpedo sphere. Which, before even getting to it, is very funny that there's a fucking, like, Star Wars only has one idea. And they literally just took Death Star and did find replace to come up with torpedoes.
Yeah, just deadly spheres.
Like, it's just a fact that it's gigantic. That's like, I have it in this little. It was very funny.
I was very curious what your experience was with it, Anthony. Because I'll just say what the moment I could never tell if you're like, this is funny or just like, I'm fucking done with this is very specifically in some point in the third episode, I forget where it happens, but we're all just like laughing or yelling or being like, Anthony, why won't you let us do this? And then you kind of like, it almost sounded sad. You're like, oh, by the way, your clue horn is here. Just to be like, remember that thing, like out of nowhere. But it's like, you clearly were like, dude, you set this up, Beth. Like, don't you guys care about your characters? By the way, you're in the scene. The clue horn, the thing that matters is here. And like, none of us mentioned it. We don't even fucking acknowledge you said that. And we don't do anything.
I think it was that,
it.
Like, that your clue horn was destroyed. Like, when I'm having my dark side moment. Yeah,
like, remember your clue horn? And we're like, no, we don't care. But the way he said it sounds sad. So I was like, was that you just like, guys, do you even care anymore? Like, you guys, like, I'm here, I'm tracking it.
It's not that kind of, like, disappointment in you. It's more the sense of, like, because I find everything after you find the beanbag to be maybe the funniest stuff we've ever done. Mm-hmm. Jizzing inside the droid with a fucking Imperial
the
officer.
Fucking robot gentleman.
The robot, yeah. Like, the fact that you, like, twice use the exact same tactic to beat Dash Rendar.
Like, Dash Rendar is like, we only do combat twice, and they're both throw beef info at it and try to crack the window.
Like, Anthony the human being finds that hysterical, and I think my assumption, and it may be wrong, my assumption in the moment was, like, Anthony, the DM, needs to at least try to keep things on track just so they have something to play off and ruin.
Yeah.
Because if I go with them completely, then it's five people being goofy and there's nothing to latch onto. I don't know if that's true because, like I said, I think the realization was actually it's all of us against Star Wars and it was fine.
Yeah. But you as the DM have to be the person who brings that Star Wars
true.
Stuff to the table.
That's
you know?
True.
That moment was like throwing a cup in the ocean or shouting against the wind. You're like, the clue, right? The clue. Fucking just anything. Are you guys going to do anything you said you're going to do now? Right,
I love just like seeing the robot store getting mugged and then going back.
That's my favorite moment.
Oh my, making
it was like,
okay.
It was like a bad bedtime story where it was just like, you're making it up like, and then you see the robot store and then we go back to the robot store.
I was going to say, so it is the most point and click adventure moment. If you play point and click, it's always like, you go there, it's like, oh, you didn't think
I didn't do the conversation to make me realize I needed one of these.
I should have grabbed the steak from the kitchen. I should have known.
It was such a bullshit reason too, because it was like, I'd beef Himbo's head, and then like Anthony puts like six droids near us that we clearly were supposed to punch one of their heads off and put their head on. I'm like, no, we don't want that. We want
to go to the droid store.
Like, yeah, I handed you a plate and you slapped it out of my fucking hand.
And Anthony's like, fine, here's a fucking droid store. The droid costs 200 imaginary dollars that don't matter.
Like, nah,
and then we're like, that's too expensive.
Too expensive.
Whoa, too rich for my blood.
We leave. And he's like, all right, fine, fuck it. I guess here's like, we'll just go on. The Imperial wants to do this thing. And it's like, and then you mentioned this joke that you're like, oh, I'm really into big round droids. So it was like, all right, I guess we're going back.
The whole plan was he was going to send you to go rescue a prisoner, and the prisoner was going to be Gertie's ex-abuser guy. Mm-hmm. And that was going to supposed to like tie in all that, which is because like
as opposed to him just
a random person at the fucking
the hanger.
Yeah. Just random.
I was like,
I need that guy to show up, if only so that Beth can try to finish out whatever the fuck she had planned for Gertie.
I didn't really.
And you didn't.
I was just like, oh,
I put
God.
The fucking food in front of the cat. The cat didn't like the goddamn brand of the food, and so the food's still there.
It was stepped on his head.
The cat was like, I can't eat this very well. Somebody else
eat
it.
Yeah, twice in a row, Yap is like, I know the solution to this, and then murdered an NPC.
I usually don't say the things I do that I like. Maybe because one of my rants is always I just never have any sympathy for fucking droids or AI or any of that
yes,
stuff.
Yes.
So I love finally being able to do it in a way that everybody can agree with me, because I forget why you're like, oh, they killed a droid. I'm like, we just came from a place where you sell droids.
We were just from a store where we could buy you.
Droids. Don't judge me. Like, I was like, yes, finally.
I also love that all of us sort of simultaneously grieve that Beef Himbo losing his memory made
just,
nothing,
my
meant
favorite.
Nothing to us. That we all did not care in the slightest.
I mean, Star Wars didn't care. It's like,
yeah,
oh my
yeah,
god, C-3PO's going to lose his memory or
like,
something.
Beef Himbo going through his entire life history, and it's the past 20 minutes because he just got his memory wiped.
That's honestly my favorite jokes we've ever done, because it's the perfect, Freddie didn't need to say the punchline.
Yeah.
Like you just said.
You said my life
past, and there's just a pause and we all started laughing. It's just the hang there that we all know is so good.
Fuck.
My thought was like, I would definitely want to find another miniseries that has that energy.
Curious to what we would do if we had to do another Star Wars.
And also, I wish we had recorded
Star
in person
Trek.
For the beginning.
So, we should definitely do it. I would love
it. What did you say?
Star Trek.
Star Trek. We should definitely do a Star Trek thing.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
We're all pretty big Trekkies. Like, there's a lot of.
Uh-oh, you're the woman this time.
Yeah, Star Trek would be a lot of fun. I would say that one of the fucking things that broke me, I'm just Freddy not stopping about the loop.
Yes.
Oh
yeah.
My god.
It's just meant where he's like, no, it's very slippery. You would fall if you touch it. It's like, yeah, like lube.
It's just
like normal lube.
It's this 1-2 of the, like, it's like, I swear to God, I've been going on for 9 hours by the time we get to Freddy like shooting in Detra. And then it's like, all right, time for Freddy. And Freddy goes like, time slows down as Beef Himbo fucking thinks about everything that's ever happened to him. Like the whole explanation of like just the phrase Imperial cum and that whole thing. It was just extremely funny. And then it's like, all right, we're done. We're moving on. And then right as Anthony starts talking, where he's like, I just want to say one more thing about him.
Let me tell you about this loop, though.
Like a slasher movie villain
at the end of the film. And then, like, Yap's dying, and we're all doing something. He's like, just to make sure we all know the cum's really slippery. He's like, why are you still talking about the fucking loop? Frey definitely had the energy of, like, this is fucking my show now. Like, this is fucking Beef Himbo all day, all long.
Listen, I know when a character fucking rocks.
Yeah. Very good.
This entire series had the punch drunk energy of like you're sleeping over at your friend's
house
at 2 a.m. and you're just laughing at the dumbest bullshit. I hope other people have enjoyed listening to it. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I do really miss the Mountains of Dadness style of doing these. Like,
that was so fun.
Honestly, I think even this would have been just as goofy. I think there would just been less downtime, and I think it would probably been a little bit more.
I just think, I would have struggled less emotionally, physically, spiritually.
Yeah, we're all together in the same place.
I mean, like, we did a lot of those.
We did five recordings without.
Yeah, yeah. And what's cool is like in the last episode, you can tell
when the third person
becomes unhinged. I mean, like, we did the goblin thing. We did the lasers and feelings. We did.
I don't remember any of our one shots.
Yeah.
We did a bunch of one shots, and it was tough. Like, especially like it's like
being in the same space is really important.
The one shots is, I think, just hard.
I will say, well,
you have to establish the world, right?
Because at least
a quarter of the time is spent being like, okay, what is the context? Who are these characters?
It's like only getting a pilot of a show.
Yeah.
One thing I will say that I missed with this one that I kind of wish we had done in retrospect was to start it the way we start Dungeons and Daddies, where we all go around, say who our character is, describe them, and give like a force factor or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think would have maybe helped us ground it a little bit, because I know we also like we had a couple false starts with like that opening was the toughest thing to edit. We went back and forth on how to set it up and introduce it, because I know we did that with Mountains of Dadness. Yeah. We did the like, this is who I'm playing, this is kind of what my deal is. I think it was interesting to try it this way.
Yeah, I was very anti just facts. Like, I think it would have helped. It would have been I think it would have ultimately gone to the same problem, which is like I think we would have had more time to kind of express our backstories, which would have like maybe
which you would
it,
have then ignored anyway.
That's true.
Which we would have then ignored anyways, or felt again to me it was definitely
more
like
obligated
the,
to.
Yeah, because the moment, yeah, because I was like, oh, I gotta make this about the fact that the love of my life, like back at home, I wasn't a good enough hunter, and I didn't want to kill animals, and then I tried to hunt, and I did a big mistake, and I got sold into slavery and all stuff, and then like, but when I stopped giving a shit about that, I was like, whatever. Like the only thing that matters is that this I was in slavery, so I'm just gonna kill this. When Anthony presents me to the Imperial guy,
I'm just gonna flip out, kill him.
But yeah, no, it definitely. I think it was definitely harder because we didn't do that.
Yeah,
for sure.
But I enjoyed it. Our next stretch goal, I think we're talking about doing
the Entourage Hell one-shot.
Entourage Hell one-shot.
It is going to be one episode. I do not want to do more than one episode.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to do one episode, but I'll do it.
Playing Entourage characters.
Oh, is that the one? Well, we probably won't do this, but I didn't want to work for this at all. So I was like, I want to do Turtle, but I want to play like a Pokemon or Groot where
just
I only
Turtle.
Turtle. Still might do that.
It sounds like we got to find a place to do a record for this then, eh?
Oh, yeah.
LA.
No, we need to do it for a one-shot.
Yeah.
I think for a multi.
Part of the issue with that is a video is like, yo, we rented like $1 million Airbnb.
We hired some honeys to come out.
No, it would be literally like we record it live in the Viper room or something.
Yes. Oh my God.
This whole episode was filmed while cruising down the Sunset Strip.
Oh, yeah.
We've rented this Cadillac. We've hooked it up with microphones. It's like comedians getting cars.
We wanted to do a car. What?
If we are playing cars.
If we all play cars.
It's Entourage mixed with cars.
No, but if it was, the story is that it's like, you know, like a road through hell. If we're all in the car and we record in the car, we can just do the entire thing in the car.
Let's do Fast and Furious, but we're playing the cars.
I would definitely do a Fast and Furious spinoff or a Fast and Furious
that'd be
one would be fun.
One.
Although that also seems one of those things, it seems like fun. And then you realize that like the idea of having to fucking role play a car chase in an audio drama would be the worst thing of all time.
Oh my God. I'd be great at it. Sure. I would just go, and I go, and then I'd stop, and then I go,
That could be a very tricky one, but in a way that either comes out great or unlistenable.
And then
the
if it is unlistenable,
it's so fucking wild.
Yeah, no,
that, like, what so space is there for you all to be wild within there, you know?
If it is unlistenable, we'll just be like, you're not a part of our family.
All right. I mean, we don't have any listener questions about
I mean, well, I guess I'll say, I think at the end of the day, to me, it shows very clearly, I'm like, oh, we have a good group dynamic, I think.
Yes.
And it's a good entertaining one where we can fill each other out and,
okay.
You know, deficiencies in one side get made up by the other. It's just a good group. It's a good group. I feel like after the Star Wars one, I'm like, okay, I am confident that we can basically do any scenario and we will, as a group, find a way to make it entertaining.
I'm going to say only Turtle next time and we'll see if we can see
if you guys were going to do Star Trek, what kind of heat would you want to bring? Like, what kind of character would you want to play as Star Trek?
Just Beef Himbo again.
Yeah. Please, Star Trek needs Beef Himbo.
He's the John Munch of sci-fi.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I would be like the worst version of Wesley Crusher.
Oh my God, yes. Yes.
I think Star Trek would
is that Boy Wonder? Boy Wonder would be fun to do.
One of the things I was not particularly happy with is that I definitely feel like Ulp just wound up being Henry, but a little bit more high-pitched. Like, I felt like I didn't quite nail her character.
Everybody on the internet, I'm not on the internet, on our Discord loves her, though. Yeah,
everyone on the internet.
Every single person. Matt Mercer DM'd me and said, hey, that Ulp, what
I
a
would
woman,
love
blah, blah,
to play a big, hammy, shithead Starfleet captain.
Yes.
Like, in the Captain Kirk vein. Yeah. Like, I would love to do that.
I'm just fucking cracking myself up thinking about like my version of Wesley Crusher would be like, what are you doing over there?
I want to drive the ship.
You forgot
to bring me to on the away team. I'm here now, though.
The thing that I've always wanted to do, and if you do a Wesley Crusher, you know, you can do this or not, but I always thought, like, whether it's Johnny Quest or any of these things, the problem with any boy wonder is they just don't acknowledge the fact that it is a 14-year-old boy going through puberty. So you never have a boy wonder who's like, also fucking masturbating all the time, rubbing his dick against them, understanding what's going on.
Listen.
Terrified of body hair, just like, just because they're smart doesn't mean they're not fucking going through all that stuff. And it's like, that's why every Boy Wonder character, I'm like, fuck you, that's not a character. That's not a
my Wesley Crusher would be hella horny and the police
perfect.
Would be yes. like, you can't do this podcast.
I think you could do it.
Yeah.
I think Star Trek could be very amenable to the way that you all tend to roleplay anyway. Because
well, Anthony,
it's just
make
talking.
It.
Oh.
That could be
I'd be really engaged.
Well, okay, well now we
that.
Need to think of a what's our fun title for a Star Trek thing?
Ooh. Deep
Star Trek.
the final dad tier.
Deep Dick Nine.
Deep Dick Nine.
The lower dicks.
It's a Mentor Prize. I don't know. We'll think about it.
We'll think about it.
We'll think about it. In the meantime, thank you all so much for supporting the podcast. Hope you enjoyed that stretch goal. We got more, of course, to come.
Emphasis on come.
Star Trek Deep Space Thighs.
Nice. If nothing else, you'll never have to hear the word jizz from us ever again.
That's true. We basically
don't make promises you can't keep.